Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Genesis 4. I read verses 4 and 5 as text verses for the sermon. Genesis 4, verses 4 and 5. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The theme for the sermon is how to serve God. We have 3 points. The first point, 2 sacrifices. Second point, the difference. And the third point, the result. So the theme is how to serve God. 3 points, 2 sacrifices, the difference, and the result. Congregation, I thought about a certain situation. There was a young man, and he thought it was a good idea that he took his car, pretty simple car, and he took the engine out, and he put a very strong and powerful engine in that car. And so then, when he would be at a traffic light and he would leave, he would be very fast, such a powerful engine. You wouldn't expect that, and that would, of course, irritate the people with their fancy cars. And he thought that was something great. And yeah, you wouldn't expect that just such a simple car, but that it was so different than you would expect. But isn't that the situation with many things in this life? And also when we think about the work of the Lord, it's many times so different from what we expect. Where you would expect it, you might not find it and be disappointed. And where you think, well, here it should be, here it is. When you think there it will not be, then you may find it. So it's so many times totally different from what we expect. And it is good, how good it is to think about what it means to serve the Lord, so that we will receive insight in it, especially in a service of reflection on the Lord's Supper. It might be that you have attended the Lord's Supper, and then you think, well, what now? Now I should meet a certain standard. Now people should be able to see that I am sincere in the fear of the Lord. And that is true. But it might be different from what you think. The first thing is not that people will be impressed by your way of life. But the first thing is the insight, or your heart. How is your heart before the Lord? That's important teaching in Scripture. And we should never forget that. We can be so tempted to focus on the outward behavior, but there should be the root of the tender fear of the Lord, of true faith in Christ. And then, yes, there will be seen that we walk with the Lord. So, how to serve God? And things are many times different than we expect. Well, let's see in this history what happens. It's the history of Adam and Eve after they have fallen in sin. And the Lord, in His goodness and mercy, gave them children. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. So the name Cain means gotten or acquired or possession. And something that Eve really thought that here is the fulfillment of the promise, that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, will destroy Satan, his power. Here's a man, a boy born, and so this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. You hear the joy in her voice when she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel, that name means breath. Like you breathe. And yeah, what is it? It's just a moment and then it's gone. So you can also translate it, and that's how it is many times translated, with the word vanity. Vanity, idle, empty, just nothing, no meaning. And you wonder why she gave this name to her second born. Some think, Calvin thinks, that these two brothers are twins. And it might be. Because Calvin says, it says one time and she conceived, and then two times and she bare, and she again bare. So Calvin says probably they are twins, but Cain the firstborn. And Cain has the name acquired or a possession, and Abel the name breath, vanity. It might be, as some say, well, after she had given a name to Cain, then with her second child, she saw the misery they came in because of sin. And like Ecclesiastes says, vanity. This life became in a certain way vanity because we have wasted everything in sin. That might be. We don't know for sure what the reason was, but and some say, well, this boy seemed not to be so strong as the firstborn. So Cain, possession, a man, and Abel, vanity. But what a difference between what see is saying in the names and what we later on see in their lives. Things can be so different than what we expect. Those boys grow up. We don't know many things about this family life. But they grow up, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we can imagine, we can see how Adam was teaching them to do this work, and they both had their different skills and what they liked. So Abel was a keeper of sheep. He would have a flock. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. He would grow a crop. And then in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. In process of time you could also translate with at the end of days. So it might be at the end of the harvest that they sacrificed to the Lord what they had as a result of their farming. They both sacrifice. So we see a family serving the Lord. A family with children instructed. and educated about the service of the Lord, that the Lord is worthy to sacrifice from what we receive from him. And Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Yes, in this second thought we think about the difference, but here you see already a certain difference, isn't it? That Abel, he took the firstlings of his flock, so the best, and of the fat thereof, the best of the best. We don't read that of Cain. He brought of the fruit of the ground, so they both sacrifice. How good it is to see this. It's a joy, it must have been a joy in the hearts of Adam and Eve. And some say they brought it to Adam as the priest of the family, so that he would sacrifice it for them. Oh, it is the deepest joy in the heart of a God-fearing parent to see your children in the service of the Lord. That is the daily prayer, isn't it? That's what you talk about with your children. You instruct your children in the things of the Lord. How good is the Lord? And that he gave this to this family, the blessing of children born, and then children that serve the Lord, both. As far as we can see, God is good. He is so merciful. How is it possible, after they have offended him so much in paradise? Yeah, his mercy is so great. Greater than we expect, isn't it? Oh, we think too little of God, of his holiness, but also of his mercy. So, parents, do we instruct our children in the things of the Lord? Is that really in our lives the most important thing, the first thing? Do we take time to teach them about the fear of the Lord? Mothers, fathers, you teach your children to pray, isn't it? But also you talk to them about the need of their soul and the preciousness of Christ, the fullness of his work. And yeah, you may have hope and expectation. God is faithful. He is a God of the covenant. He is a God that has shown his faithfulness already in baptism. You plead on it. To teach your children about it in hope, in faith, isn't it, that God will bless it in their lives. And I know it can be that it doesn't go like you hoped. There are parents that have seen their children turn away from the service of the Lord. How hard it is, how painful it is. But don't give up to pray. That God will remember his covenant. And it might even be that you will not see it, but that he will bring them back and save their souls. And never forget that, yes, instruction and speaking is important, but to be a living example. And I know we feel that we've come short so much in that, but never forget that is important, that you live a life with the Lord so that they may see the example. I'm sure they have seen Adam sacrificing to the Lord, and those sons follow his example and his instruction. It seems that they are both the same. They both sacrifice. But there is a real difference. That's our second thought. There's a real difference, a big difference. And that becomes clear, especially also when we read these verses. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And then immediately you have the question, why? What is the difference? Why the Lord had respect for the one and not for the other? Well, there are different opinions about it. This chapter is not so easy, and certain verses are not so easy, and also this thing. There's a different opinion about it. Some say Adam had instructed them also about what happened after they had sinned, that the Lord provide clothes. We probably remember that history. Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, they were shamed. They had fear, and so they tried to cover themselves with leaves. That didn't work out. That was not a good covering. And so the Lord provides clothes from skins. What does it mean? That means that there were sacrifices, and animals were killed for that. Blood was shed. And that is pointing, the sacrifices in the Old Testament, the blood shed of animals, point to the blood of Christ. And some commentators say, well, God has instructed Adam and Eve by this. And so Adam has, in his turn, instructed Cain and Abel about it. The need of blood shedding. A sacrifice for the atonement of sin. And then we see the sons sacrificing, and there they say it went wrong because Cain did it in his own way. It's interesting to see that that Abel chapter is speaking about Abel first. He was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. But then Cain is sacrificing, and it seems he's doing it his own way. He's taking from the fruit of the ground, and he is sacrificing it to the Lord. But then Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. So he killed an animal, and he shed blood. In other words, Abel understood the instruction. Abel embraced the instruction of the need of bloodshedding because of his sin and his guilt before a holy God. And Cain, yes, he serves the Lord, but he does it in his own way. And you could even say, with the labor of his hands, the work of his hands. So, and the question is, can we not see an illustration of the difference between those two brothers? One acknowledged before God that there is a sacrifice and bloodshedding needed to be acceptable in the eyes of a holy God, and the other one served God, yes, but in his own way and with the works of his hands. I think there's some nice thoughts in it. And I'm not sure if we have to focus totally on the outward difference of the sacrifices. I mean, we do see in the Old Testament that the Lord allowed to sacrifice fruits of the land. So as such, that was not wrong. So I I really believe that it is much more about the intention of the heart, the attitude of the heart. Like we read in Hebrews 11, that Abel, by faith, brought a better sacrifice to the Lord, by faith. So Abel did it by faith. And yes, then it is true that saving faith includes repentance, to acknowledge, Lord, I need the bloodshedding of Christ. And that's not the case with Cain. We don't read anywhere about faith. And yes, then it is true that if we don't live by faith, then we trust in the works of our own hands. We trust in what we have, and we serve the Lord in our own way. So I agree about the difference in the hearts, and that the outward sacrifice kind of illustrates the difference. But I think we should emphasize the difference really is in the heart. Because it says here, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So he had respect to Abel and to his offering. So his offering was acceptable because of the attitude of the heart of Abel. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. The sacrifice, the offering of Cain was not acceptable because of who Cain was before the Lord. So you could say Cain was not acceptable, was not accepted by God. And his offering was not because of who Cain was. You understand? The service of the Lord is in the first place about your heart. Even if Cain would have sacrificed an animal without repentance in his heart, it would not have been acceptable before God. We can do everything the same as others in the service of the Lord, but if our heart is not right before God, it's not acceptable to Him. So that is the difference. How is your heart? Well, how should my heart be? Well, like the heart of Abel. He sacrificed, Hebrews 11 says, by faith, a better sacrifice. So, the big question is there faith in your heart? If you think about attending the Lord's Supper, and then a new week starts, how should I live? Well, the answer is you should live by faith. Pastor, tell me what to do. Please give me a list. Well, it's not so long. The answer is live by faith. Let your heart be right before the Lord. But there are so many practical issues and questions and situations I have to deal with in this life. I understand. And yes, we have scripture for instruction about these things as well. But I am sure if you walk by faith, that makes a difference. It is not possible to describe every situation you will come in this life and to tell you how to behave in that situation. But if you live by faith, then the Lord will help and guide you so that you will behave to His glory. according to his will. Yes, study your Bible. Live near to the Lord, but by faith, by trusting in the Lord. So what does it mean to live by faith? To live by faith means you will not depend on yourself. Ah, that's easy to say, but that's hard to do. You will, in a deep way, be convinced in your heart that if you are left to yourself, you are lost. You will fail. You will fall. You will not be able to resist any temptation. So you have an attitude in your heart that you depend on the Lord. From the first moment that you awake in the morning till you're going to sleep in the evening, you lift your heart up to the Lord. Oh Lord, help me. Guide me, instruct me, and lead me. You do not depend on yourself. You do not depend on yourself for your salvation. You depend on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that cuts off all pride, all self-righteousness, all self-sufficiency. It's cut off with the sharpness of the word and the law. It is cut off. No, there's no hope in my work to be saved by it before a holy God. Yeah, and then you can say this sacrifice of Abel is a wonderful illustration. He took a lamb and he cut the throat of the lamb and he slaughtered it. He sacrificed it to God. It's a picture of Christ who died on the cross, who sacrificed himself so that I can be accepted by God. And we have seen it in the bread and the wine. And that's the attitude. Lord, the sacrifice of Christ is my only hope. That's the payment for my sins. So you start this new week, you start those months till there will be another time of the Lord's Supper. How are you going to live? You will stumble and fall in sins. In your words, in your thoughts, what you do, you will fail. You will come short of the glory of God. And then you are like Abel. You take a lamb and you sacrifice it. No, you see that God has given a lamb and sacrificed it. So when you are cast down because you see your failures, your sin, your guilt before God, and then you open your Bible and you read about the Lamb of God. And you read the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses from all sin. You lift your eyes up, you see Christ crucified, and then you will not stay in darkness of that burden of sin and that guilt on your conscience. You will not stay in darkness to be caught on it, to lay in it, to stay in it, but you lift up your eyes to Christ. That's the difference. That's the life of Abel. That's the life of faith. And you know, that attitude of depending on the Lord, that attitude of living out of the sacrifice of Christ, cutting off all pride and self-righteousness, it is so helpful. It makes such a difference in our daily walk, in the decisions we make, in the things we do, our behavior. Something of that grace will be tasted by people surrounding us. They will sense it. They will smell it. That sweet smell of the love of Christ in your life. Yes, there can be and there will be practical questions. You will pray about it, you will study the word. You may talk to someone in the office, to a pastor, an elder. You may consult them and they will try to advise you. But this is the difference. If your heart is right before God, like the heart of Abel was right and the heart of Cain was not. Cain was so different. He worshipped the Lord in his own way, without faith, just depending on himself. Well, he might acknowledge God here that the fruits have grown, but there was not an awareness of the need of his soul. There was not an awareness of the sin before a holy God that he needed a sacrifice for his soul, for his heart to be saved. And that's it. Well, let me explain the difference in another way. It's like what we read in the New Testament. You see two people going to the temple. It seems that they do the same thing. They're both gonna serve the Lord. But there's such a difference. Cain is like the Pharisee, the formalist. Formally, he does the things. But Abel is like the tax collector, a repentant person with a broken heart, ashamed, who doesn't dare to lift up his eyes to God because of who he is before God. Like David is describing it in Psalm 51. Broken heart, the contrite spirit. There you have the difference. So let's examine our hearts before God. Are we convinced of the need of the sacrifice of Christ for our salvation? And not just in one moment of emotion, just as the foundation of our life, the continuing attitude of our life and our heart, or not. Are we satisfied about our own service? Are we satisfied about ourselves? Yeah, we have to sacrifice. Paul is speaking about it in Romans 12, that we sacrifice our bodies, which certain way you could say your life, your whole life, sacrifice it to the Lord. Let your life be a surrendering, a dedication to the Lord. But you can only do that if you live out of this miracle that Christ gave his life for you. So now there's a question. How did Cain know that God did not respect his sacrifice and did respect the sacrifice of Abel? And several commentaries say, well, it might have been fire that came from heaven to consume the sacrifice of Abel. So to make clear that God accepted this sacrifice, and it did not happen to Cain. That could be, although Scripture doesn't say it. And others say, well, afterwards it became clear to Cain because his labor, the work of hands, was not blessed like the labor of Abel. I always thought it could have been different. I always have the feeling that the thought about this, because Scripture isn't speaking about that it was revealed in a special way, that Cain just could see it, or if you want, could feel it. And isn't that true? Can you not see it? Look how Abel is standing there sacrificing, or Adam sacrificing for him, and he watching it. Look how his face is beaming with joy. And how there is such a fulfillment in his eyes, a satisfaction about a joy in the things of the Lord. And Cain doesn't have it. It's not possible because he's not sacrificing by faith. I mean, is not David saying in the Psalms that God makes his cup overflowing? Isn't that the part for God's children? I know that it's not always exactly the same, but in general you can say they experienced it. They know about this overflowing of their cup. Was not Abel standing there and his cup was overflowing, seeing the sacrifice, the love of God filling his heart because of faith in the Lord, sacrificing by faith. And Cain didn't understand this. The world doesn't understand it. It's foolishness to them. Can you have such a joy? Well, you actually lose something, you sacrifice something. Can you have such a joy in an invisible God whom you cannot see and touch? That's a secret that is not understood by those who do not live by faith, who live for this world, who live for the visible things, the things they can touch and enjoy immediately. And there's such a void, such an emptiness in their hearts. I'm inclined to say that's how Cain knew. He simply didn't have what Abel had. And so that made him mad. He became so angry. It was so irritating to him that his younger brother, who had not such a beautiful name as he had, who was not a firstborn, that his sacrifice would be accepted by God, it made him so angry. He says, and what is the root of that anger? Isn't it jealousy? It's simply to live by the flesh and not to walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Well, you could say that's this whole world history, isn't it? We have more examples of that, isn't it? Was Ishmael not mocking Isaac? And does Paul not say in Galatians 4, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit? And Luther says, Cain will always kill Abel. That's why there is always that persecution in this world, that hatred. The Lord Jesus says, they've hated me, they will hate you. That's what he said to his disciples. So, yeah, we already speak about the third point, the result, but let us first sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 141, stanza 1 through 4. 141 stanza 1, gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. 141, all stanzas. congregation. So do you get a point of the difference? Let me try to summarize it once more. First, let me read what it says about Abel in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, a more excellent sacrifice. So what is the difference? How can we explain it? How can we summarize it? Well, let me say it this way. You cannot do it. You who attended the Lord's Supper, you cannot do it. You will not be able to live to the glory of God in those following months. It's just simply totally impossible. I mean, we have been singing it, that God is not interested in a formal service. Yeah, you may be able to do everything correct in the service of the Lord. People might speak about it, that you are such a decent Christian. That doesn't mean that you live to the glory of God. It's much deeper. It's impossible from your side. It has to come from the other side. It has to come from God. Are you offended now? That's what Cain was. He was offended. He couldn't stand it. But it's simply the truth. It's a matter of faith. And faith, there's another word to say, the Spirit dwelling in your heart. And there will be the power and the secret that God will be glorified in your life. So there you are in all your helplessness. And there Cain is in all his helplessness. And what is he doing? And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He didn't like it. You don't like it too? What should Cain have done? He should have been ashamed. Oh God, I'm wrong. I've trusted in myself and tried to serve you in a formal way. But he should have prayed what we have been singing, make my heart right and true, Lord. That should have been the reaction, the result of this situation, that it became clear to Cain that his sacrifice was not accepted and Abel's sacrifice was. But that doesn't happen. Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. In other words, you could see it. Watch. Look his face. It falls. You can see that he is not happy at all. He is so wroth and angry about it. And look what happens then. Isn't that amazing? And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Isn't that how God is? That God is going to talk to Cain while he is in his anger? And the Lord in his mercy is speaking to him. Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, God is pointing the way he has to go. If thou dost well, if thou wilt sacrifice by faith, then you will be accepted, and your sacrifice. And if thou dost not well, sin light at the door. Well, there's a lot of discussion about this sentence. What does it mean? I understand it like some commentaries do, as a real warning that the Lord says, you know, be careful, Cain. Sin is like a lion, a fierce predator who's lying at the door, waiting for an opportunity to jump and to tear apart. Be careful. And if thou dost not well, sin light at the door. And by the way, Cain, unto thee shall be his desire. We probably have to understand this from Abel. He will be your younger brother. He will respect and honor you, and thou shalt rule over him. Behave well. Be careful. A sin light at the door. Cain doesn't listen. Cain is hardening himself against the Lord. Oh, this is horrible to see this. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Two brothers talking. And it came to pass when they were in the field. So Cain says, come, Abel, go with me in the field. And then it came to pass that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. It doesn't say how. Calvin says maybe he cut his throat and the blood, because it's speaking about blood. It doesn't say how, but he killed him. He killed his own brother. Did Abel not see it? That his countenance had fallen? That Cain was angry? Wrath? Well, maybe not. Isn't that many times the case when you live a righteous life? When you live with the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, you're inclined to think the best of your neighbor. You're not prepared for this. And isn't it at the same time not true that those that are caught in this jealousy and the anger because of that are very smart to hide it? So there they go for a walk in the field, and then unexpectedly Cain kills his brother Abel. Maybe he was beating him to death. We don't know. The first murder in world history. Fruit, you could say, result of the sin of the parents. So the parents lose two children, one by death, and one who's going to wander all over the world. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not, and I do not care. And it's a lie. So really, he was in the power of Satan as a murderer and a liar. It's such a dark picture. Someone who seemed to serve the Lord was just formal. His heart was not changed. He did it for any selfish reason. There was no real humility. There was not a contrite spirit. What a warning it is. And the Lord said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Crieth unto me? Yes, it cries for vengeance. And it will be avenged. And now art thou cursed from the earth. You will experience the curse, even in the labor of your hands, because of your sin. And you will wander, you will not be at home anymore anywhere. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. As even there's not submission to the Lord. He doesn't say, Lord, I deserve it. Oh Lord, be merciful to me. Oh Lord, is there a way to be forgiven? Just an ongoing hardening. What a warning. It starts with that horrible sin of jealousy. So let's receive lessons out of this history. The lesson that we have to examine our hearts and that we need to cry out to the Lord for a change of heart, but also that we have to watch against any root of sin, any jealousy, any negative feelings about our neighbor. And as soon as that feeling is there, that we pull it out, that we fight against it, so that it will not grow and become murder. It doesn't say how many days it took before Cain killed his brother, but you can imagine that he has killed him several times in his mind before he actually did it. So here's blood crying for vengeance. But listen, in Hebrews 12 we read about other blood. Oh, whatever your sin is, whatever the root of sin is that you experience in your heart, bitterness, jealousy, anger, listen, there's other blood. Hebrews 12 verse 24, the blood of sprinkling, the blood of the covenant, which is pointing to the blood of Christ, that speaks better things than that of Abel. It speaks of atonement. The blood of Abel is speaking about revenge, punishment, wrath of God. The blood of Christ is speaking about redemption, atonement, because he took the wrath. You saw it this morning, the wine? So what is your sin? You who attended, you who did not attend, think of this blood. There is the blood of Christ, and it speaks better things than that of Abel. It speaks of atonement, forgiveness, to be washed, to be white as snow by this blood. There is power in the blood. Oh, that's scripture. And scripture doesn't lie. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is cleansing from all sin. Why would you be like Cain? Oh, that you may be like Abel and sacrifice by faith the sacrifice of gratitude because of that you see what Christ has sacrificed for your salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Lord, our sin is so horrible. Sin is in our nature. And oh, it comes out in this world. There's so many examples of it in scripture. We can see so many examples in daily life. And Lord, so much bloodshedding and violence in this world. And if we don't do that literally, we are so prone to do it in our hearts. Our feet are fast to shed blood. That's what Paul says in Romans 3. And if we don't see it, we're still blind for the depravity of our own life, our own heart. But Lord, if we see it, that we may see that other blood, the blood of Christ, Lord, that is crying better things, speaking better things than the blood of Abel, speaking of atonement, speaking of a way to be forgiven and to be received by Thee. Bless Thy word, Lord. Be with us when we go home. Keep us on the dangerous roads and help us in this new week. And Lord, that we every day may live by faith, so that the root of sin, of jealousy and selfishness and unreasonable anger, will have no room in our hearts, that there will be meekness, humbleness, and love, and self-denial, so that it will be a sweet savor of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives in this world, to the salvation of others. Lord, we pray, hear us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.